Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
It's great to be with you again and to share with you in the Word of God. And it's quite a big passage. I'll try not to keep you beyond 1 o'clock. All right. First thing that we need to understand as we look at this passage of Scripture is that it's one of the visions given to Zechariah. Vision in Zechariah has a future application but a present reality. And that's applied to the people in the day in which the message was received. So what does it say to us? Well, some of the vision has been fulfilled, but some of it is still yet future. But it also has, for us, a present application. And that's how we're going to follow it. Now, you can look it up in your Bible, or if you want, you can have it up on the screen. I don't mind. That's quite all right. So we're going to start off looking, first of all, at this vision of Joshua, the high priest. Now, this was after the captivity of the people of God by the Babylonians. Darius sent them back, you remember, to rebuild the temple. And there they are, having got the temple a bit underway. And Joshua is the high priest in that day. And he's standing in the temple, and the angel of the Lord is there, and also Satan. Present application for them. Joshua the high priest, the angel of the Lord. And we'll see in a few minutes that the angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ. And Satan is standing with him. Have you ever thought that Satan is standing in the temple alongside the priest of God? That's what they're being told, quite clearly. And so we could immediately sort of say, well, this is applied to the leadership. And we need to remember that Satan is the adversary of the believer. And, of course, he wants to get at the leadership of the church, or the one who is representative of God to the people. And we need to remember that. But it's not just for the leadership. I believe for us, as we shall see further on, as when we get to it, that there is the priesthood of all believers. Don't hear so much about that today. Heard a lot of it in my younger years. But every person who believes in Jesus Christ, according to the letter of Peter, is a chosen person and is a appointed priest unto God. So what's the present application for us? Satan is alongside us also. Don't hear much about Satan either today, but he's there because we are God's representative to each other, but also to those outside. And Satan is opposing Joshua, the high priest. He is opposing leadership, and he is opposing all believers. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you. He has chosen Jerusalem And is this not a brand plucked from the burning? Speaking of Joshua, he is one who has been taken out of the fire because God has a purpose for him. Leadership are appointed in Baptist churches, chosen by the people of God to serve God and them in leadership. And each one of them is a brand plucked from the burning because God has a purpose for them and needs to fulfill that purpose through his servants amongst his people. Present application for us. We are serving each other, or we should be, as followers of Christ. We should be there for encouragement, for building up, and yes, we have a purpose to be fulfilled. We are brands plucked from the burning by God, for he has a purpose for us. And don't any of us say we're too old to serve, because we're not. On Thursday, I conducted led the funeral of my Bible class leader, who is known by the name of Henry Starling. He was 93 years of age, and only the week before was preaching the Word of God. No one is too old to be used by God. God has a purpose for us. And then it says, Joshua was clothed in filthy garments. In other words, Satan is doing his job. He's turning around and saying, look at that follower of God. Look at the terrible state he's in because of inward sin. And we all mess up, don't we? And he's saying, look at him. But something wonderful happens. The angel of the Lord says, take away the filthy garments. See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Or the angel of the Lord, who I believe is Jesus Christ, and as I said, we'll be coming to that in a minute, is the one who says, okay, I'm removing your inward sin, and it's being taken away, and I'm going to clothe you with rich robes. Robes of righteousness, because that's what it means. We're being clothed in the righteousness of God. And the word then was, yes, your leadership have sinned. They've done things wrong. They've not been obedient all the time to God. But God removes the sin and gives them a righteousness. And that reminds us too that our leaders are human. And yes, they make mistakes. Yes, they mess up. Yes, but God says, I will remove that iniquity. I've given them the garments of righteousness. And as a result, Joshua standing there in the sight of God, now cleansed in rich robes. The leadership is encouraged by being reminded that God cleanses them and has covered them with the righteousness of Christ. And every believer here this morning and every believer in the Church of Jesus Christ can say, I have been forgiven, I've been cleansed. And if you know the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I quote there often here, verse 20 and 21 says that he, Christ, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. We have righteousness clothed upon us by Christ. And we can stand because of what Christ has done. That's the word. That's the encouragement. Satan's out to get us, but don't worry. Beside us stands Christ, the Lord God. And he is the one who is keeping us and cleansing us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah's looking on, and he suddenly says, put a clean turban on his head. Or, as another translation puts it, put on him the mitre. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the high priest's garments in the Old Testament, but the mitre was a hat that the priest wore, and it had writing on it, which was, and I can see Mike at the back there, holiness unto the Lord. That's the completeness of a person in Christ. Chosen by God, appointed by God, whether that's in leadership or within membership. It's there. We are set apart for the work and the glory of God. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua. Wait a minute. He's been cleansed. He's been clothed in the righteous garments. He's got holiness unto the Lord, and he's getting admonished. You see, you don't have to have a go at the leadership. God does. Leave him to get on with it, because, boy, he does sort us out. He does have a go at the leadership, believe it or not. And he says, look, Joshua, if you walk in my ways and keep my commands, you will be judge, ruler, guardian of my house. And likewise, you will have the responsibility of the whole of the work of the church in that place. And I will give you places to walk among those who stand there. I will give you the places of service. I will direct your feet to where people are. If you walk in my ways. And that's the important thing, isn't it? God can only use us, even though he's appointed us and clothed us and set us up on the right road. He can only use us if we are obedient. And that's always the hard thing, isn't it? We always like to do things our way. I must confess that I had a bit of a problem today, because a week ago I was preparing this, and I also was at that time expecting to go to another church tonight, and I couldn't find the message, and I'm getting a bit worried. I tend to do that sometimes over the word. And in the end, I thought, I said to myself, well, I don't know about this. Maybe I've got to take the same word that I'm preaching in London in the morning to the people in Wickford at the evening. Now, I don't very often, in fact, hardly ever, preach the same sermon. And I thought, well, I don't know. I'm not getting any guidance from God on this one. What's happening? On Thursday, as I said, I was conducting or leading this funeral service, and in the congregation is the minister of the church in Wickford. And of course I go up to him and I say to him, "Nice to see you. I'm with you on Sunday evening, I believe," because he hadn't contacted me. And he looked at me and said, yes, but... And I thought, hello, what's happening? And I said to him, "Why, what's the matter?" He said, "Well, I was going to ring you to ask you if you mind not coming." God moves in mysterious ways, doesn't he? And I said, "Well, that's interesting, because I couldn't find the message for you. What's happened?" He said, we've started a new Bible study course on Jesus. And we normally run it on a Wednesday night. But last week, people said we can't come on Wednesday. And so we'll come on Sunday." And he said that was all right, because the minister who was coming had rung up and said, "I'm not well and I can't come." So we had it last Sunday night. And he said then we were discussing when we could meet again. And they couldn't make it Wednesday this week. They want to make it Sunday night. And I knew you were coming. And I said, "Brother, how many you got coming?" He says, "Counting some of our congregation now, it's a lot smaller than this. You can number the congregation almost on one hand." He says, "We've got 20 people coming." I says, "Hallelujah, praise God. Have it Sunday night. I'll have it off." But you see, God has a plan. And God has a purpose. And he's going to fulfill it. And you've got to be in that willingness of attitude to say, "Okay, God, I'm going to walk where you want me to walk, and I'm going to obey you." And so we're going to see how this can happen. We've got to be prepared. And as I said to this minister at Wickford, you've got to move with the Spirit of God. Why? I mean, he's so laid back sometimes, you know, I feel like I could sort of say, "Brother, you need to let people know." Because I was getting in a little bit of a state, I must confess, as to what I was going to be preaching on. But there you are. I hope they're going to have a great time tonight and a great time of blessing. But then he moves on and he says, "Okay, now listen. I'm going to give you a wondrous sign. I'm bringing forth my servant, the branch." We had that in one of our draw your swords. The branch is a name which is given to Christ. He is the one that is coming. And he is the one who is going to be for the people of God. He is the one, as we're reminded elsewhere, comes out of the root of Jesse. And it's a direct reference to Jesus Christ and his coming. And it's taken up again in other passages of Scripture. And then suddenly we find that there's the stone that is laid before Joshua, and there are seven eyes upon it. Now, I don't get into numerology too much in the Bible, but number seven, if you think about it, stands for completeness, because on the seventh day the Lord rested. It stands for perfection. Completeness, and it also stands for that tremendous sovereignty of God. And yes, that's going to be laid, and there is an inscription. And listen to this, says the Lord of hosts, "I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." Anybody got it? Anybody want to jump up and say, "Hallelujah! Christ crucified removes the sin in one day." Not just for the land of Israel, but all sin is removed in one day by the sacrifice of Christ, who is the branch and the stone. Wait a minute, are you with me? How does this apply to us? This is where we say part of the vision has been fulfilled. But we're also reminded that because we are a chosen people, because we are a kingdom of priests, we are also living stones which are being built into the dwelling place of God. Now that's a tremendous day to look forward to, because God has said right from the beginning, and remember, he came and he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He had fellowship with them. And of course, when they sinned and they were put out of the garden, God then had to start moving to create places where he could come and be with his people. And he had the tabernacle built in the wilderness and the meeting place. And he was in the center of his people. And the temple was then built. And here again, it was to be where God would be in the center of his people. Well, we get a bit excited because there's a great day coming when Christ will come back. And we who believe will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And it says, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But it doesn't finish there. Because God has said, I will dwell in the midst of my people. And I'm building a temple not made with human hands, but the Holy Spirit. We've got to come to this point of realizing that yes, because of our faith in Jesus, and if you read the Gospel of John, I think I'm right there. Mike will tell me afterwards if I'm not. We're told that through faith in Jesus, the Father will come and dwell in us. The Holy Spirit will come and dwell in us. And Jesus will dwell in us. You ever thought that you're a habitation of the Trinity? Because you're a believer. And every believer who is a living stone is now being built together into the temple of God. And he's going to dwell in us and with us for all of eternity. That's a tremendous thing. And in that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under the vine and under his fig tree. That's still future. Because we're not yet at peace. We're still fighting with Satan. What are we saying here this morning? A vision of the living God. A vision of the people of God. Because remember, the high priest represented the people to God. And yes, the leadership represents the people to God. But again, coming right down to us today, we are all kingdom of priests, the priesthood of all believers. We are all representing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Wherever we go, whatever we do, either good or bad, we're representing him. And he's saying to us, will you walk in my ways? There's a lovely verse which I can't give the exact reference for, but there was a voice in the ear that said, this is the way, walk you in it. Jesus said, I am the way. Walk in the way of Jesus. It's so important to walk in the light of the Word of God. Henry, my ex-Bible class teacher, always said to me, and it took me a long time to get to grips with it, Douglas, if the Lord tells you to do something and you don't do it, he's not going to tell you to do anything else until you do. I found that quite hard. When I knew what the Lord wanted me to do, I could find lots of things to do in the name of God, and I did. I found many reasons why I shouldn't go away for 2 years to study the Word of God. And I told God all the good reasons, because I was a co-covenantal leader. I was engaged in evangelism. I was engaged in the preaching of the Word. I've got no time, Lord, to go away to Bible college. But it's not until I went that my life changed. And that's what happens. The Lord gives us things to do. And as a result of being obedient, going back to that previous verse, we are blessed by God. And God makes us a blessing to others because He can work through us. He can use us. And that's the tremendous thing. This was a word of encouragement to a people who were being opposed by Satan. We need a word of encouragement. And I hope I'm not treading on Eric's toes. But you see, you called him to be a leader. But I hope you haven't called him to be alone. You're the priesthood. He's not just there to minister to you, but you're to minister to him. I can remember when I had my first church way up in Shetland. I don't quite know how it came up, but we were having a discussion in the deacons' meeting. And suddenly one of the deacons said, "You know, Pastor, you're not just here to sort us out. We're here to sort you out and to prepare you for the work God wants you to do." A learning experience. You see, that's what it's about. It's that oneness in Christ. And it's to be encouraged. Encourage one another. And keep looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. One day he's coming, and he's going to take us to be with him. And that's not the end of it. Because I've got a verse in the Bible which says that we will move at his bidding. We're going to be going here and there doing his will. Don't ask me where or what. We're not just going to spend time singing the praises of God. We're not going to spend time going around and having a chat with all the people that we've read about in the Bible and people we've met who in this life have loved the Lord and are with him. There will be a work that he wants us to do. He's not going to have us inactive. I wonder, as we have been obedient in this life, as we have been faithful in small things, what did Jesus say? You're going to get more. Don't you realize you're going to judge angels as well as men? Don't you know you're going to rule with me? It gets bigger, and that's a totally different subject. But take the word of Zechariah. Be encouraged. The Lord is with you. Okay, Satan, you're standing there, but Christ has cleansed me. Christ has given me his righteousness. And all I've got to do, all, couldn't do it on my own, but the Holy Spirit's going to help me to walk in his ways. Amen. We're going to sing again. We're going to sing 544. Sorry, be up there. Join all the glorious names.